Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go into the file with the Greg and Lyndon Show. We will be talking about everything from space programs, dreams, aliens, conspiracies, ancient civilizations, Sasquatch, and like-minded thought with KJ, our producer and co-host Chris Randolph. We at the Weird Radio Network are trying to get to the bottom of things, and we want your comments on the open lines about what you think also. For listeners hearing us live on the 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, September 4th broadcast, you can join us at 563-999-3027 to listen in and even talk with us and your fellow listeners. Once again, 563-999-3027. So let's go into the files with the Greg and Lyndon Show.
This is Greg.
And I'm Lyndon.
And this is the Right Energy Institute for Research and Developmental Systems.
Why don't you just call it the Weird Network? Oh my God. What a rude sounding bit of talent. Oh, that was me. Hi, this is KJ. I've been borrowed from a couple different networks and so on. Glad to be here helping out some new promising young talent, otherwise known as Greg and Lyndon. You know, their producer, their immediate producer, I'm just the board operator, I make the magic happen, but their producer is the one who found him out, and he's a good guy, one of my buds, and their dad. Go figure. Talk about broadcast nepotism. But we were all kind of thinking before the show, there was some other show that used to come out from somewhere in Nevada. They called it the Land of Nod, but somewhere near Area 51. But that guy I think he died, didn't he? But the show continues on, and this show begins tonight as we go into the files with Greg and Lyndon. Boys, how are you doing tonight?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Now, I understand we've got already our first caller and a celebrity going on by the name of Chris. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right tonight.
Now, are these kids going to be as good as I've heard? They sound kind of enthusiastic.
I think they're going to be awesome. I was talking to them the other night, and they're stoked, just like I am.
Great. And if you're stoked too, go ahead. And if you're listening on the internet, hey, that's fine. That's cool. But you can also call in 563-999-3027. Greg and Lyndon, tell me, what are you guys interested in and what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, tonight I'm thinking about talking like aliens and what the news.
Okay. Go ahead and, I mean, what's up with the aliens that we should know? I mean, is it illegal aliens or just something more, maybe less down to earth?
Well, I've been reading about Greg Bishop.
Greg Bishop?
Yeah.
And who's Greg Bishop?
He's the author and researcher of UFOlogy.
Let me look him up here.
Yep.
That's something. Oh, interesting.
He also does videos and movies. He does videos and movies.
Really? Open-mind UFO radio. So he has his own radio show, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. But what really made you interested, Greg and Lyndon, in Greg Bishop?
Well, we were listening to Jimmy Church, and we heard about him. So I decided to do a little research on him to see what he's like.
Yeah.
And then I found, like, awesome research about him. So I just thought I could talk about it in my radio show.
Yeah. And
cool.
For those of you, for those of you who don't know, Jimmy Church is also the host of Fade to Black and so on. JimmyChurchRadio.com, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Greg Bishop.
To him all the time.
Okay. Well, a lot of people do apparently because he's also on Amazon and Stitcher and a few other places. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and but he's my dad's friend.
Oh, well, that's even better. You know, now that's a good cheat for kids, right, Chris?
Yeah, it is.
Now, for those of you who don't know, it's kind of a family affair, and that's really an old TV show. Greg and Lyndon's father.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Is David Griggs, otherwise known as David Spiros Griggs, who has had talk shows and oh heavens, he knows a lot of people, and also is a fan, and you've worked with Jimmy Church and so on. Say hi if you would there, you know. If you wouldn't mind.
Yep, this is David right here. I'm
yeah.
Standing right here watching my kids do their show.
Yeah. But so with that, yeah. With that said, with David Spiros Griggs, that means that Greg, your name is Greg Griggs, right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I
okay.
want my name to be that.
Okay.
Oh,
but
nice.
Yeah, say that one five times fast and we'll get everyone confused. Now, Lyndon, are you also interested in Greg Bishop?
Yeah.
Now, what
and
makes him
games.
Interesting? And video games.
Of course.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, that's a typical one for you guys.
Yeah.
What makes that so interesting for you, Lyndon?
I'm into Fortnite.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of people are. Hey, you guys want to? Here's a little bit of trivia. Oh, okay. Here's a little bit of trivia that'll be kind of wild. Now, you guys were just born not too long ago. Now, Chris, I think you and David and I may have kind of remembered, at least heard about this stuff, but TV started back in the 1940s, 1950s. Imagine this, boys, okay? Imagine this, guys. TV shows from the 1960s, when they were broadcast way back when, 60, 70 years ago, are just now, those signals are just now reaching the edge of our Andromeda galaxy. So the aliens, what? Yeah. It up till about 15 years ago, it was the 1950s. So now all these aliens who may be weirder than Vulcans, maybe they might look like Fortnite characters, think we're all 1960s crazy people. Isn't that kind of a wild
That's
idea?
Wild.
Yeah.
So
Greg, can you kind of imagine that the TV signals from way back when take that long to go across our galaxy there's probably some aliens out there watching our TV.
Yeah, that mind boggles me. just imagining that aliens watching us from up there just looks scary.
Now, here's something else that you guys will get a kick out of. There is, okay, this is kind of cool, a formula that tells how many aliens and extraterrestrials there might be. And it's called the, you guys are not, I mean, I know you're not kidding, but you're right. There could actually be aliens someday hearing this broadcast and watching old TV shows. Really? Oh,
that'd be creepy.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, here's what it is. It's called the Green
Bank.
There's
some good TV shows back there. Gunsmoke, I Love Lucy, Batman.
Oh, yeah. Batman. So this is called... Yeah, this is called the Green Bank Formula. Oh, yeah. So it's called the Green Bank Formula. And it says with all the types of planets there are, even it's so complicated, I can't even figure it out, how many type of stars there are in the Milky Way galaxy and so on. There's probably at least... Anybody want to guess how many planets capable of supporting intelligent alien life? Anybody want to take a guess?
Yeah, I would like to take a guess. There could be over 1 million.
A little too high.
7,000.
100?
100, you're getting better. It's about between 20 and 50.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty rare.
Oh yeah, life like us is pretty rare, but it is possible. Now,
just
you
like
guys,
you know,
met.
We have an extreme thunderstorm coming up, so if we go out, just keep the show going on.
Sure.
Without it.
Okay.
So, I mean,
okay. And
yeah,
and
the,
by the way,
the host,
yeah. And also, I just want to let our callers who are waiting online, if you do want to join the conversation, not a problem. Hit 1 on your telephone keypad or keyboard or whatever. But, you know, this is something really exciting. And even though we're not on radio, we're on internet radio and on the phones, little amounts of this show are actually going through space right now to the edge of the Milky Way galaxy and beyond. So people 20, 30, 40 or more years from now with three arms and five different two heads at least. Good, Chris. We'll get to hear this show whether they like it or not, right?
Hey, I have a 1980 file fact.
A 1980 what?
File fact.
What is a file bot?
File fact.
File facts.
Yeah.
Okay, what is
what
that?
What is your file fact?
It's the average cost of a gigabyte space storage was $37,500. Today it is less than 2 cents.
Oh, yeah. Well, wow. You guys want to hear another fact that is crazy? Remember when... Okay, this is good. This is cool. Remember when the Apollo space missions went up to the moon?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I knew some of us might hear. Let's see. Greg and Lyndon, you guys have a computer, a laptop at least, right?
Yes.
Okay. Chris, you have a computer, laptop or desktop, right?
Yes.
Okay. Guess what? All of the computers in the mission control room back in the 1960s and 70s could fit the same computing power in our laptops and our desktop computers of today.
Whoa.
No way.
Yeah.
That is cool.
See, that's why you guys hired me, because I can come up with all these crazy facts.
I know, right?
Yeah. Very crazy.
Yes. And
so,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask Greg and his brother what they know about aliens.
Good question, Chris. What do you guys know about aliens?
We know about the secret space programs.
No, there can't be any secret. I mean,
Two secret programs.
What secret programs, guys? I'm not sure maybe I'm stupid, but I haven't heard about this. Greg,
enlighten us,
Lyndon. Yeah.
The Navy has the biggest space program. The Army has the military industrial complex.
Okay. Well, you know, I've actually heard about that. There is a thing in the U.S. Navy. I'm just looking it up now, but I was curious, not to see if you guys were lying, but I was curious. It's called the Space Cadre. And now here's the weird thing. The Navy Space Cadre, maybe your dad will tell us, this sounds suspicious, is a cross-functional community of professionals who are trained to plan and execute space operations. Cadre of space professionals is managed by the Navy's Information Warfare Enterprise, and their technical proficiencies enhance fleet warfighting capabilities.
Actually, if you want me to step in there, there was actually a ship out there called the USS Hunt. If you look it up on the internet, they were a secret warship that went to all over the place, Iran, Iraq, all over the Middle East, the Mexican areas, and all that kind of stuff. They became their own base, eventually, a sea base, which was the only sea base ever to exist on this planet. And then they became the secret laser weapon operator, where they actually tested laser weapons on the ship. The only people in the whole world to ever test extreme laser technology on ships. And then they tested it all, and then they decommissioned it. So the base, they were a floating base. So they went around and actually did all, you know, when they were called, a lot of stuff that they were called at that time, it's a lot of insider stuff now. But they have extraterrestrial things going on in space, or things are going on in space like that, and they want to shoot it down. They take that ship, and they would use that laser to try to shoot the ship down. So that was the technology.
Wow.
They wanted laser technology to be able to destroy these ships that are in space. Yeah, they just decommissioned it in 2017. They were trying to decommission it in 2012, but they wanted to do testing with that ship. It was a special ship that was made with different materials and all kinds of stuff. It was a very interesting ship. But it's a warship.
Okay.
Not a carrier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, then you guys have heard.
It is considered a USS. There's no other USS ship that's a warship, because all USSs usually are carriers.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there is another one that's USS that's a problem. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but during World War II, 1943, the USS Eldridge is alleged to have been testing cloaking technologies. and, you know, it becoming invisible. And what they say, that's part of the movie, The Philadelphia Experiment. And that's, they say that when the ship came back from being cloaked to look invisible, that some people on it, on the boat, were crazy. Some had materialized between the decks. And then there was another movie. Oh, I can't think of this one. But this is where a ship, a Navy ship, actually went back in time to World War II. Boy, that sounded frightening there. Anybody remember the name of that movie?
Yeah, when it comes to the Philadelphia Experiment, you know, they were using high arc technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were using high extreme, we're talking super, super extreme arc, as in like welding arc technology. I mean, we're talking so powerful and extreme that it was, I mean, these people were literally, if you couldn't find yourself in the goo or the mess, as they called it, in when you read the books and stuff, they were actually fused into the hulls and stuff. And they were just stuck there forever.
Well, wow. Let me ask our host a question, because, I mean, and I know, like me, all of our listeners don't deal with this stuff every day. Do you think Greg or Lyndon or maybe both of you could explain what your dad was talking about in a really simple way that we could understand?
So what he was talking about of the high
arc
technology?
Yeah.
Well, anything I could explain is probably like really dangerous, like such as laser beams, like shooting the spaceships.
Exactly.
Like literally, there could be spaceships out in space, like say Star Wars or Spaceballs, something like that.
So do you guys mean that cloaking experiment could have actually been a way to test lasers to shoot down hostile aliens to test if that would work?
What I think is the hostile aliens are the bad aliens. There could be good aliens that just come in peace. If. Maybe. We don't know. There's,
What
I've learned is there's 300 different types of aliens in the universe.
Okay.
300?
Human aliens.
Well, that's, Chris, that's actually consistent with the Green Bank formula, because that's based on Class M planets. But, guys, go ahead.
Let's see.
But you were saying it was like a laser testing to get the bad, getting the bad aliens.
Nope, exactly what I was saying.
So there was technology that Emery Smith was talking about. This is David. That was explaining the different types of technology that they were using. He was working for CSETI. If you look up that, Dr. Greer operates that organization called CSETI. That's a very, very secret space program that's not so secret anymore. But they used to do testing. What they used to do is they used to do sample tests. So they would shoot aliens down and they would do testing. So sometimes they would have 10, 20, 30, 3,000 samples or whatever. If it was the same species or the same person, they would do these sample tests of this extraterrestrial or these extraterrestrials, and trying to figure out what it is and what they are. They used to go to the Vatican. They had to get information. What they used to do, they used to have these almost like plexiglass pads, almost like a Firefox pad or tablet or of some sort. And but it was clear. And any information that you wanted, it automatically knew what you wanted. So it itself already had that alien technology. So you would look at the pad, and it'd bring up the information that you needed.
By the way, I wanted.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to jump in. I finally found it. And I want to apologize to Greg and Lyndon because your producer is not a very smart guy sometimes. It took me a while to find it. The other movie that it was based on was The Final Countdown with Kirk Douglas. That was the other movie that the Philadelphia Experiment came about. But, David, you were saying that, about the clear pads and so on.
Yeah, was that the Philadelphia Experiment where they have the Montauk Project part of the Philadelphia Experiment or the actual ship part of the Philadelphia Experiment? Because they had the chair part of Montauk, and then they had the ship part, and they kind of tried to bring it together of doing both.
Yep.
Both together.
Mm. Now, Greg and Lyndon, you were saying that about how this kind of fits together. All you guys have been talking about is how afraid, I mean, this is what I'm thinking, the government is of us knowing how good they can be, how clever they can be. Do they think we're dumber than me? And are going to be more frightened and of aliens and new technology, do you think?
I would think that they would be more afraid of us than we are them. Just like scorpions or different types of animals. Like a cow.
Yeah.
Cow. They're afraid of us more than them. Well, I mean, let's see. Say about coyotes or...
He does. Oh, yeah.
Because, what did you want to add? Oh, that, what if the people blow up the alien ship and then the alien ship it blows up, then they blow up?
Oh, like a tiebreaker thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, also, I would like to ask about the alien project thing. Like, say, the aliens, do you know how they have giant UFOs? And in some of the movies, they have this beam that pick up stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking they pick up some humans. I don't know if they do, but they could. They could pick up the human and then test them in a lab. And then they put it back on Earth. And then that human had alien, what is it called?
Memories?
On him, so he turned into an alien. And he ruled the world.
No.
You know, a lot of people have actually thought about that, and it frightens them.
Well, it's scary stuff.
Well, what makes it
scary?
What, as
well,
an
the
adult,
movies,
Chris, what makes it scary to you?
The movies.
Oh.
They always want to come and conquer the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's the big thing. That's the only real access most of us have are the movies.
Well, it's
so
the mass media.
That might be true. So, you know,
But,
so,
you know,
so what?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
So, what do you think is the reasoning why they're doing that type of movie conditioning to make you think that anything and everything that comes from space is destructive?
Uh-oh.
Well, okay, who said uh-oh? Was that Greg or Linda?
KJ. KJ, I'm asking
yes.
you.
Yes. Oh, asking me? Well, one of our hosts, whoever said uh-oh, I think really was the smart one of our group.
Yeah.
Because...
Okay, Lennon, so what do you think?
Okay. Lyndon, that was good. Yeah, why do you think that they're trying to make us be afraid of aliens?
Because the aliens might be evil or they might be nice. No one knows.
Okay. So do you think that the governments and the media, you know, the TV and radio and newspapers and magazine and internet, do you think they think we're too dumb to know the difference or to be careful?
They think we do.
Really? Okay. That's kind of what I feel,
dumb.
Too. Mm.
Yeah. So, I would like to ask you something about...
Yeah, great.
I'd like to add something. Let's see. I said, because that was... I was thinking that would be a hard question. But, and then I really thought about it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, oh my gosh, these aliens could be abducting humans.
Yeah. Well, there was actually a movie about, not a movie, there's been a few where humans get sucked up and they get probed. And so, you know, there's even some people who think that some of these aliens, we've captured a few and we've done experiments and they're setting up in your state, Nevada, in Area 51, and the government is hiding everybody away, so we can't see them, either because they're too much like us, and we shouldn't be afraid, or they're too totally different, and we should really be afraid. What do you guys think? Should we really be afraid, or maybe is the government overprotecting us?
No, I don't, but it's a show called Fee that you're talking about. And the aliens could be caging humans.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Yeah, I could see that in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people say that some humans are really aliens. And and it's like the only way, and this is kind of something I've been toying in the back of my mind with writing a possible screenplay about, just for the fun of it, you guys are getting a kick out of it, is
hybrid.
It would be called, but the only way you could tell that they might be aliens is that they have perfectly ordinary personalities. They're not sounding too crazy. They don't get too stressed. They don't get too angry, but they seem just normal. Or am I being, or is that a dumb idea? What do you think, Lyndon and Greg? Is that a dumb idea? Or might that be something? No? Really?
That would not be a dumb idea, because, like, if we see a UFO, you could purposely go into the spaceship, we'll try to get into the spaceship, and then try to face out the alien.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't really think about that.
To get information about more aliens. Yeah.
See. What type of information do you think? You kids are smart.
Like,
you must be homeschooled.
No. Information about how they trap the alien technology and how they trap humans and what they're doing.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a crazy question. Okay. Let me ask you a really crazy question, and I'm really curious what our host would say about this, what you two guys think. There's been some movies where the aliens just want to come and take over and do everything like that. Do you think that we should worry about that possibility, or do you think aliens are going to be more like explorers on most of the Star Trek TV shows and movies? So do you think they're wanting to... Yeah, go ahead.
Think like Emily Smith.
Emery Smith.
They're all explorers. About Emery Smith. The aliens being explorers.
Okay.
I think they'd be explorers because, I mean, they just have, like, a few planets to live on. Mars, Jupiter.
Yeah, they could live on Mars or Jupiter.
Saturn.
And then they could be coming down to Earth just to find a new home and somebody to care for them. Like a homeless dude.
Okay. Okay. You know, I was looking at Emery's... Yeah, I want to let you know I was looking... Okay. Emery Smith has a website.
DNA.
Okay. I think he's found a lot of DNA.
Yes.
He has apparently participated or uncovered the autopsying of over 3,000 alien specimens and over 1,200 nearly complete bodies and trying to get more information about that. And until you guys told me about him, I didn't even think about looking him up and seeing that. And when I did, I went to BoulderDowntown.com and found, some of his claims about going into alien crashes and retrievals and autopsies and so on. You know.
Yeah. I got two things to add. For one, we talked to him about that. And for two, all of his claims are real.
Yeah. Well, you ought to invite him to your show and get him to talk about some of his stuff. Yeah, Chris, you got it. And talk to, I'm sure your dad, your agent, could book him.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be exciting to talk to a guy like that?
Yeah, we're trying to. Trying to maybe interview him, because that'd be cool. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's I can understand how that would be for you guys, because I'm a freelance writer on the side, and I got to talk to about 10 years ago a really cool guy by the name of Tim Berners-Lee. And you know how the websites, the internet is www.something-something-something? He's the guy that came up with that. Tim Berners-Lee. He's the one who came up with, how the WWWs and the domain names translate to actually the numbers of website servers. You know, every website is on a computer, on a server, and they're known by numbers. But he's the one who created the difference or the way to make it so that you could put in, and we're going to do this sometime, Dave, right? www.weirdnetwork.com or something like that. And instead of having to put in, .com.
We're getting it there.
Yeah. And instead of having to put in 22.77.113.25.172, you just put that in. He's the guy. So what I'm getting at is he was really down to earth and nice to talk to, just like, the guy that may have done some alien autopsies will probably be as well. And he explained it so well, so cool, so easy that I could understand it. And I think it would be really a good show for you guys to, you notice I'm saying you guys, not you kids, but you guys to do sometime.
We also got some monatomic copper. And after taking that at least two times, I feel really good.
Yeah, we feel calm and focused.
Now, by the way, I want to mention for our audience listening in, if you have just joined us, hit 1 on your telephone keypad if you do want to join the conversation online. I see our board. We've got more people coming in. But let me ask the dumb question. You're talking about monatomic elements that are they're in like I tried this once. They're in water or something. Could you explain it in a way Greg and Lyndon, that the people that are not, you know, I mean, I have to do so much research when I write something or when I record something or when I meet somebody. Could you explain it in a way that even people like me would understand?
Well, we feel very good. Like right now, I feel really calm, really.
But why? But why?
Why?
Yeah, and what is this monatomic element stuff?
Copper. The copper is making us calm.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm really smart.
So what? I mean, so it's in water or in another liquid that you drink or what?
It's in high suspend state.
A high suspended state. Okay. That makes sense because that means it's not going to be floating. It's not going to be floating away, even though it's Chris, David, what is the word I'm looking for? Absorbable, right?
Yeah.
In other words,
right. It's monatomic in high spin state instead of diatomic.
Yes.
Monatomic means that it doesn't attach; it carries. So what happens is it finds parts of the DNA, and it attaches to the DNA without having receptors to repair. It's almost having like nanotechnology. It's almost alien. And the Anunnaki were the ones that originated the monatomic.
Okay.
And the Anunnaki were the first aliens to come about. And that's where the Hindus came from India. They created what they call the gold. They enslaved them and made the people to come in, and they enslaved them to build, build the machines, extract the gold, make monatomic. Anunnaki wanted their planet. If you look at all the Vedas from India, which are 10,000 years old, that they were extracting it out, and they got very bored, so they created humans. But I'll go beyond that later. But the slave aspect of that, the Vicky Monatomic, their planet needed gold, like nanotechnology of gold. So they made this stuff called monatomics that they were making because we are plentiful of gold. Everybody on the planet uses our water, our resources, and that's why they come to this planet, is to take it off the planet to go somewhere else.
Yep.
So wow.
They used our gold because their atmosphere was depleting. So they wanted to spray this nanotechnology of monatomics into their atmosphere so they can live. And that's an old Vedas. I mean, 10,000 years old, you can read the Vedas, and they actually explain all of it in detail. And that's the interesting part of it. It's all in detail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, what I was kind of wondering if we could do a little commercial here that might be good. And then we'll hear again the introduction for the show that I think was really cool. But you guys I imagine you guys probably need some water or something else, monatomic or not. But the show is available on Facebook. Just look up Weird Network Premiere. And it's kind of cool. The listing is facebook.com/events/. Now, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of numbers. And this is actually, don't blame Tim Berners-Lee or any of the guys who created the internet. This is the way that Facebook puts things out. So facebook.com/events/. Here's a bunch of numbers. 458-536-174-878. 383. So again, the number, it's again, facebook.com/events/458-536. See, that's why I hate those numbers. 174-878-383. And just do a search for Weird Network or Weird Network Premiere. And speaking of that, we're going to be going back into the files in about a minute and a half with the Greg and Lyndon Show. This is KJ along with their agent, producer, etc., and Dad. He's a cool guy. I like him too. David, we've also got Chris keeping it all in the family. And we'll be right back right after this.
Let's go into the file with the Greg and Lyndon Show. We will be talking about everything from space programs, dreams, aliens, conspiracies, ancient civilizations, Sasquatch, and like-minded thought with KJ, our producer and co-host Chris Randolph. We at the Weird Radio Network are trying to get to the bottom of things, and we want your comments on the open lines about what you think also. For listeners hearing us live on the 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, September 4th broadcast, you can join us at 563-999-3027 to listen in and even talk with us and your fellow listeners. Once again, 563-999-3027. So let's go into the files with the Greg and Lyndon Show.
This is Greg.
And I'm Lyndon.
And this is the Right Energy Institute for Research and Developmental Systems.
Why don't you just call it the Weird Network? Oh, God. I sounded so rude to you guys. Welcome back to Let's Go Into the Files with the Greg and Lyndon Show. I'm KJ, the board operator, and we have a whole bunch of really cool people, including the host. The co-hosts of the show, Greg and Lyndon Griggs. David's floating around, their agent, and also a relative by the name of Chris, who knows what the heck he's talking about. But we were talking during the break, and Greg said he had something really interesting to ask. Greg?
I have a question for you and Chris. So, oh, what do you think the opposite of monatomic copper is? And
what? Say that again.
Diatomic copper. What do you think the difference is?
The difference is
monatomic and diatomic copper. What do you think the difference is?
Well, Chris, tell me if I'm wrong.
One is made with one atom, and the other one has two atoms?
Well, I mean, either atoms or atom receptors. I mean, the ones that are diatomic don't connect like the monatomics that are kind of like free radicals, right? Is that the answer?
Yeah. Well, see, diatomic state would be something that attaches. Like, you have something that needs to attach to DNA, it would be diatomic.
Yep.
And that carries would be monoatomic.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects what's going on around its environment in a magnetic form, but it doesn't actually affect it in the DNA aspect in a total. So you have monoatomics, it's running around in your body, it's repairing everything, but it's repairing everything in a magnetic form. Diatomic state means that it's going to attach to it and it's going to fix it.
Oh, wow.
Monatomic is, it's going to fix it in a magnetic form. So if I had monatomics right now in my body, 200 feet from itself, it's going to affect. The monatomics does not go, it just sit in your body. It actually travels in inner space It actually goes pops in and out of existence in multi-dimensional areas. So if I took Mortal Kombat and it's sitting next to somebody and somebody had cancer, right?
Yeah.
My monatomic may go into the person who has cancer, and all the monatomics may flow into that person's body because I don't need it. So I may be taking crap loads of monatomics, but the person next to me is the one that needs the monatomic, so it's literally going to come out of my body and flow into them.
Oh, wow.
Energetically,
it's literally going to like molecules. The molecules will literally transfer into somebody else. It may transfer into a phone and destroy the phone. It may go into whatever it needs to go. But what monatomic does is monatomics is something that is exotic matter. Even people in the know mass amounts of quantum physics and that kind of stuff. Half the time, they don't even know what monatomic does because it's weightless. You can take 10 pounds of monatomic, you can put it on a weight machine, and it will say zero.
Oh, wow.
It's literally going in and out of existence. It's literally popping in and out of existence all the time.
That's creepy.
So when you put it in a jar, it literally eventually breaks the jar. Because it literally vibrates itself out of the jar, and it'll literally crack it and explode it. It'll literally go where it needs to go. It's almost
Lyndon,
like it's alien technology.
Yeah, Lyndon, you said that's creepy. What do you mean by that?
Is it scary? It's like a ghost going into your body.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's actually a very clever... Wow. Yeah, Chris, that's a very clever analogy there.
And Scott, you've taken monatomics, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so,
hey,
you took monatomics.
I felt very charged up, but hey, this guy is... I'm so old, I need all the help I can get. I mean, all those particles were sticking around with me.
So, Chris, what do you think?
I'd like to try it. Because right now it sounds like crazy talk to a guy like me, but four people talking about it, and hey, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's one of them. According to the videos and stuff, that is alien technology. To have and to ingest monatomics, they even found on the mount for Moses, when Moses went, and you know the whole story of Moses bringing up the calf. He got really mad. He was up on the mount, was it Mount Sinai or
Mount Sinai, right?
He's on the mountain. Yeah.
I haven't been to the third world where major religious figures have walked around lately, so sorry. But let's see. And they were having a thunderstorm going on. So, Chris, to let you and our listeners know, they are back. Welcome, guys.
Hello?
Are they back?
Yes, we're back. Your thunderstorm had mentioned. That was what?
Because like all of a sudden, I tried to explain what monatomics is, and all of a sudden, it's like the government was like, you're done. You're not going to talk about this. You know what I mean? And that does happen.
Well, that's kind of like what you were talking about. Greg and Lyndon, especially about, them worrying about the government or the aliens, from other planets.
Yeah.
By the way, we have about 35 minutes left in the show. Aliens, us not being afraid enough about them, that we should be more worried. you know, maybe they don't want us to know about these special things or even hear. Now, maybe I'll be cut off. Who created discovered monatomic elements and their ability to help bond with cells and make people better?
The person that actually, I'm going to come in. I'm David, the host. So the person that actually discovered all this information and actually did all the discovery of it, his name was David Hudson from Arizona.
Another David. That explains everything. Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing is 90% of all things that you want to know that are magic or are interesting always have the name David. It is very true. You look at a lot of the movies and a majority of the movies that you see out there, for some reason, their name is David. They can tell you about 10,000 different style movies that are very magical or very mystical or non-understanding or some type of scientific thing or whatnot. The name is always David.
Exactly.
Name three.
Name three. That's David. That's a good one.
Okay.
Name Greg
three.
I've got to let your host know, Greg and Lyndon, this is called when your guests are trying to torture each other. But go ahead.
Jumper. The movie Jumper.
Okay.
Okay.
The next movie would be not Merlin's Apprentice. Sorcerer's Apprentice. David.
Okay.
Well,
that's
Navigator.
Two. Oh,
Alien.
Okay.
David.
Okay.
So I have to go on and on and on.
David Copperfield.
David. For some reason, his name is David.
No,
it always has to do with something magical, interdimensional, or something alien. And I can go
Well, actually, I think we've got to mention that there are some famous Gregs. Okay?
Yeah.
And I think we may even have some famous Lyndons. Greg Kinnear. Yeah, at least one. Greg Kinnear, a TV show host. Let's see. Gregory Hines, a dancer. Let's see. Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Let's see who else. Let's look up. Greg Proops, a infamous actor of improv. Let's look up famous Lyndons. Okay. Lyndon, do you think there'll be a bunch of famous like you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see. I don't know. Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon LaRouche. I don't want to see the birthdays of these people. Here we go. Famous people named Lyndon. Okay. Here we go. Lyndon LaRouche, Lyndon Jackson, Lyndon Brook, Lyndon Byers. Lyndon, you got a bunch of sports people who. Lyndon Osbourne. Oh, yeah. Oh, perfect. Well, that explains it. Yeah. 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 So let me, as we're kind of wrapping things up into open whatever, and by the way, again, any of you listening, you want to talk to Greg, Lyndon, David, Chris, myself, 563-999-3027. Or if you're holding on the phone system, just click 1 on your telephone keypad. Greg and Lyndon, you'd mentioned that you found some things going on in the news kind of weird, too. What else could be I mean, we've talked about so many things that are weird. What else do you think is kind of weird going on in the news?
Hurricanes. So right now it's going on in Florida. Hurricane Dorian.
Did you guys hear that President Trump said the hurricane was going one way and then it was moving another way, and then he changes I really like President Trump, but now I get to be either suspicious. He's got all the government at his beck and call, and he does something dumb like that. I mean, it almost makes me kind of wonder what's really going on. What do you guys think?
I think it's HAARP technology.
Oh. Wait. Okay, let me guess this. Do you mean, because everybody picks fun at President Trump. They say he makes mistakes and he's too pushy and overbearing. Do you think that because things changed, that they're trying to make it look like he made a big funny mistake or something? Greg, Lyndon, what do you think?
I think HAARP technology is to destroy people and what is it called?
And to destroy a nation.
Wow.
Building. It's like, you know how suicide bombers, I think they were clashing to the Twin Towers?
Yeah, that's a big theory.
That's what they do. That's what I think destroys that means.
Wow.
Yes, the hard time technology.
Do you think it's too far off the possibility that the destruction of the Twin Towers back in 2007, 11, whatever it was? Okay.
It was 9/11.
Do you think that?
So yes.
Okay. Yeah, 9/11. Thank you, guys.
Because it was a coincidence that it's 9/11, 9/11. That's such a coincidence.
Yeah. It sounds like you don't believe it's a coincidence.
I heard sarcasm there.
But hosts are allowed to be very sarcastic.
It's good.
But what else do you guys want to talk about tonight? We have up to 27 minutes, or we could call the show whenever you're ready to, you know, whatever you guys want to do.
Okay.
Well, I want to know what Chris wants to talk about.
Go for it, Chris.
Everybody's been talking about Chris, so Chris.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long-winded. We're talking like
long-winded.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. What can I say? I guess. Well, I'm always open to talk about Sasquatch, and as a kind of a segue, if anybody wants to see a possible picture of an alien, you go to on Facebook.
Chris,
the Facebook page. Called Tri-State Squatchers.
Oh.
I loaded it up again. It's a really freaky picture.
Okay.
And what is it called?
So,
Tri-State Squatchers.
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 Yeah, are these
and
people
what is,
who... Yeah, what is it?
Oh, that's... a couple who goes out and hunts for Sasquatch and films their exploits.
I'm going to look that up on YouTube.
By couple, I mean me and my wife.
So let's bring your wife on, because I know your wife is listening. I can see it on here right now. So let's bring her on. 3695, right? That's her?
Yep.
Okay, so let's
and
bring her on.
Welcome to the Greg and Lyndon Show as we go in the files with the better half of Tri-State Scotchers. You're live, ma'am.
So explain to us what Tri-State Scotchers is and what you guys do.
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah, hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome to Let's Go Into the Files with the Greg and Lyndon Show.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
They're interested in knowing what Tri-State Scotchers does. What do we do?
Tri-State Scotchers is just a small two-person I don't want to say company, but all we do is we go out and we find and search for clues and things that would bring us closer to finding a real Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Now, Karen, let me ask a dumb question. And that's all. I mean, everybody will just say, that's all KJ's been doing tonight. Are Sasquatches real?
Well, I didn't think so.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I didn't believe it. I mean, seriously. When I first went out with Chris, I brought my purse and a blanket. You know, I mean, I thought we were going to sit down and look at the stars and listen to, you know, noises that they make or something. But after doing this now for approximately 3 years, yes, I do believe in Sasquatch.
So what kind of noises have you heard, Karen, that you know that it's different from some other animal that would be a Sasquatch? Do they make a certain noise? Because I've talked to other people that do this type of research and studies, and they go out and they do this stuff. There's a certain yelp or certain sound that they have that they do. Have you guys heard that? It's a very distinctive sound.
Yeah.
The whoops?
Yeah, we've heard.
It's a weird little thing. It's like a weird. You can't even do it.
I've got to mention, Greg and Lyndon, this is where your guests are going crazy, because they're making sounds that sound like cartoon characters like Scooby Doo, or are they?
No, they make a. They howl, they make whoops.
Really?
They have a sort of a guttural speak that I can't even imitate. Just really? And they have...
Come on, Chris.
Call samurai talk.
Well, let's bring it...
They have all kinds of ways of communicating.
Okay, but Chris, let's bring it around to square two and three. Could they be Wookiees? Could they be some... Yeah, really. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Greg and Lyndon started talking us about aliens and so on. I mean, would that be possible? See, Greg and Lyndon, what you started when you started your show?
Maybe. If you put it that way, they could be the basis of the Wookiee character, sure.
Yeah, I totally believe it could be a Sasquatch, could be a Wookiee, or some type of interdimensional being, or something that, you know, like a Yeti, you know, or whatnot. You know, there's a lot of beings or extraterrestrials that come from what they call Admiral Byrd. Coming from the area from the north, that come in and you have no idea what the hell it is. You know, I've literally talked and studied with a Lama from Tibet. He's actually His Holiness. Yeah, it's His Holiness Lama Jigme Namgyal Rinpoche. He lived in a cave for 16 years in the Himalayas. He actually said that there is actually a cave network of stuff that is in the Himalayas, that there's all kinds of different beings that come out and teach them. That's why they get the knowledge. It's not that they're sitting there and you know, meditating and getting knowledge. They end up going into these areas that they're not supposed to be in, and these beings come to them. You know, that's what happens, you know.
Well, let's ask Karen a quick question. Let's ask Karen a quick question. Karen, when Chris was taking you out there, what was supposedly a blanket and a nice lover's evening, but again, you started your hobby of tracking. Did you think there was something forbidden that maybe somebody didn't want you to hear?
Oh, yes. I really did. Yep.
You did?
Well, I
what do you think that was? You know?
Yeah, what do you think it was?
Well, okay, like, you can go into all different aspects of this Sasquatch, you know, and Bigfoot thing, but, like, Chris knows there's a certain area in our primary Squatch zone where we have seen people try to fly drones, and all of a sudden, boop, down on the ground they go. Nothing can be filtered.
That.
Yes, and our phones don't work in that area. The equipment that we have goes dead. The battery dies on it. It kind of makes you think
that... My first
that
camera got messed up.
Exactly.
That.
So, yes, there. I do believe that sometimes something doesn't want us to, you know, to be able to find it or find out.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
And yeah, and that's one
Karen,
of the
that
things
really
that's significant
great
about the...
I'm sorry, our host.
I mentioned then. Okay.
Yeah, one of our hosts was trying to jump in.
Okay.
I got a question for Karen. Have you ever been face to face with a Sasquatch?
Oh, good question.
Yes, I did.
Oh. What was it like?
How did it make you feel?
Yeah.
What did they do?
I wasn't for sure at first if it was going to attack me or if it was just in a running position. It had its feet spread apart, and I thought for sure that it was going to come towards me. At that moment, my flashlight died.
Oh, no.
And I could no longer see. And I screamed to Chris, run, which he did. But then he also turned around and came back, and he had to take hold of my arm and pull me away from where I was because I was froze. I could not move.
Yeah, did you feel like your life was in danger?
Yes.
Is that why you were frozen, or was there any other reason, Karen, possibly?
I believe I was afraid to move, thinking I was possibly going to be attacked.
No, was it a hairy being or was it an extraterrestrial that you didn't understand? Because, you know, a lot of extraterrestrials, they put themselves in an environment that you may be comfortable with. So, like, you may like something, you know, like a lot of people, you know, they've got kids. Like, you're in the bed, you see a kid, And you're like, oh my gosh, there's a kid. So you get up, and then all of a sudden you're abducted. You know, so was it that type of thing, or was it like a real, like, you know, I was, you know, in the forest, I saw this hairy being or whatnot, or whatever it is, because Sasquatch, you know, it doesn't have to be hairy. And, you know, they grab you, and then you're like, when they grabbed you, did you experience, you have a certain thought process? Did something come into your brain? You know, did it show you something?
I mean, very good.
There's a lot of aspects of things that you have to look at when things happen. So, you know, just because a being grabs you, you know, that's just a total human thing. You have to look at it in a scientific manner of, okay, did you get any type of, was there anything else that was there?
Good,
you know,
question.
Because, you know, extraterrestrials may look at something, like you may be obsessed with something and actually sort of comes down, boom. Oh, this person believes this. Bam, right there. You're off and you're doing something else. You know, I could tell you it was a total, what I thought was a dream one time when I saw an extraterrestrial and I saw a space alien in Arizona, me and my cousin. We saw this huge freaking red orb, you know, and it went across the sky and stuff like that, you know. And you know what? What we thought was something was not what we thought. So
that's an interesting question, Karen.
I was in a spaceship. They were literally going through a freeway, on the freeway, out somewhere, right? And
so that's a good question. That's a good question.
Hurt
Karen,
or anything. They were just showing me an aspect of what was going on.
Karen, what did you actually see? I mean, that's a good question.
Well, I did see what I thought was a Bigfoot. It was hairy. It had gray hair, which made us name it the Old Gray, which actually Chris has now seen it also.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
It did not grab me. It just stood in front of me, and I think my fight or flight response just kicked in at that time, and that's why I wasn't able to move. So the other times that we have seen the Old Gray, it has not been threatening or, you know, aggressive or anything. I really don't think at the time it really would have attacked me. And I actually came home and I drew a picture of the Sasquatch that I seen that night. So
yeah, hold it up so everybody can see it.
Yeah.
Kidding.
But, you know, Chris
a joke,
did see
of radio.
It too. At
yeah,
a different
I've seen
time.
Him.
Okay, I'm Greg, and I think we're gonna have to end the show. Oh shit! Here.
Wow. So that was really weird, Karen, because they sometimes take you down the freeway to see what's going on, huh?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask the crazy question of the night. And, you know, I've been talking too much, but I'm really curious what our two co-hosts think. Greg and Linda, if you could have an extraterrestrial do anything with you, whether it be take you around the freeways in their ship or talk to you so that you could understand their language, or whatever, what would be, what do you guys think would be the coolest thing possible?
They talking to you so you can learn the language.
I think that they give me free candy bars.
Free candy.
And then take me in their spaceship or whatever they are. Like if it was a, what is it called? No.
Mothership?
Yeah, an interstellar spaceship. They would take me on that ship and around like the world in like a half a second. And, like, yeah, they show me everything. And then if it was like a Yeti, he'd put me on his back and take me somewhere.
Oh, that's cool. Neat. Mm-hmm. Like the movie Flight of the Navigator.
Yes, or the movie E.T. I want that to happen. That'd be
so
cool in real life.
No.
Greg and Lyndon, you don't sound like you believe that. Do you guys think that aliens and extraterrestrials might be nice, or
no?
What we adults call rational, and they could be, some could be nasty, some could be nice, and I heard a no.
We think that they're nice.
Okay.
They align.
Interesting.
They alliances.
They what?
Alliances.
Alliances.
The alliances.
So, okay. So you're hoping for alliances with them.
Yes.
Yes.
And they can give me an allowance.
Oh,
and an allowance. Oh. Hear that, Dave? Yeah, mm-hmm. your clients want an increase in their allowance just for. Now, Greg and Lyndon.
I don't know if I can talk to aliens to give them a alien credit. You know what I mean? But you never know.
Alien money. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I might talk to Quirk. I might be able to get him some type of, you know, allowance there.
He's Quirk.
So Quirk? Okay. Here's the thing, Greg and Lyndon. Okay. Here's what you do. Here's what you say to your dad, who's your agent. Now that I did the talk show, I want more money. That's very, very important. You know, you tell him that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, is that good? Yeah. Now that we did the talk show, we want more money.
Now that you're celebrities.
Now that you're celebrities, we want to renegotiate. What?
Okay, So, where to pay the $100 off? I may think about that. Well, $100 for one show.
That's how much you make or pay for a show.
That's a $100 for their show. I'm paying $100 for the one show.
So,
both of us?
So, Greg and Lyndon, you know what?
Do I get $100?
You know what this means? Yeah. That means production expenses are eating up your profit. So that's good. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can deal with that.
But once I...
So $100 for the show. You know, $60 for the mic.
Oh, I'm going to get a new mic.
Okay, so $300 for the computer. $60 for the internet.
Greg and Lyndon, this is where you guys...
So you owe me $100, buddy.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No. You owe me $100. He said.
That's okay, Greg and Lyndon. That's where you look him in the eyes and say, "Talk to my agent," because your dad's your agent. You know that'll confuse him. He will. Yeah, he will think he's looking at the into the eyes of the Sasquatch.
That's right.
We
Mom
have about five. Yeah. We have about 5 minutes left. Greg and Lyndon, or Karen, or Chris, or David, is there anything anybody else wants to say? I think this was fun and a cool concept. Let me ask you, Greg and Lyndon. Greg, about how old are you?
Yeah.
Six? 11. And Lyndon, how old are you?
Nine.
Nine? Okay. Let me ask you this. Let's start with Lyndon first. Lyndon, you felt a little scared before the show began, right?
Yeah, but now I don't feel scared at all.
Good. Greg, what about you? A little scared, and then now you're now it's okay?
No, I wasn't scared. I was just I had butterflies in my stomach, and now I think anyone knew I would get a little nervous.
But when you stop talking...
Well, you know, I've got to compliment you guys because there are, number one, not a lot of kid broadcasters doing talk shows live, and it'll be recorded, you know, we'll make it available. And
live. You know, this is a whole thing.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, people.
Yeah, this is
and
all
people
live.
Will be able to... Yeah, and people will be able to hear it on your network on Blog Talk when we're done. I don't think we really have to edit anything. I think it was darn good. And
I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, not perfect. You'll have to talk to your agent about that one. seriously, I mean, Chris and Karen brought some interesting stories to us. Your dad brought some interesting stories. Explanations I didn't even think of, and you guys kept us all together. And most important, I want to thank you, Greg and Lyndon, because I'm not super smart, and you didn't make me or let me feel dumb, because you made everybody explain everything good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So. Does we have about a little less than 3 minutes to go. Does anybody have anything else? I mean, Greg and Lyndon, when are you guys going to be having another show in a week or two or again, or is this just a special event, or what do you think is going to happen?
I do believe we're having one next Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know
cool.
With who, I'm hoping it's with Emery. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, that would be. So,
what we're doing is we're trying to get some people on the radio with us. We're not going to surprise anybody or tell anybody who or what is going to be on the show.
Yes.
But we're trying to get people on the show that we want to get on the show. So it'll be very interesting. Stay tuned. We have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that want to talk to us. We have Steve Barr that wants to talk to us.
Mm.
I just talked to him yesterday. He's going to be the director and producer of 5 episodes or 5 things of Avatar.
Mm.
So he lives in New Zealand, and he's going to be directing and producing majority of all of the avatars.
Oh, wow.
So he's got 5 or 6. I tried to get him on the show. He said you have to have at least 2 weeks. So
yep.
Okay.
I can't just sit there and be like, hey, you can come on my show. He goes, yeah, you need 2 weeks to dance. Sorry. You know,
or 1 week.
Because he's very, 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 you know, he's very busy.
Yeah, and we have about a minute left. Is there anything else you guys wanted to say before we sign off from going into the files with the Greg and Lyndon show? Anything else you wanted to say real quick?
We had so much fun.
Oh, thank goodness. And I had fun with you guys, too. And who else?
I want to say something.
Yeah.
Greg.
And Lyndon.
And this is the Weird Network.
Oh, that is so good, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you. And again, you'll be able to see Let's Go Into the Files with the Greg and Lyndon Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook. And have a good evening.
This is Greg.
And I'm Lyndon.
And this is the Right Energy Institute for Research and Developmental Systems.
Why don't you just call it the Weird Network?